Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to early morning prayer today. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Verses 1 through 9. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. I just pray, God, that you will come in your presence, God, in your power, and speak to us, Lord, and I pray that you will reveal to us more of who you are today, God, and we just give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to thank you guys for praying for me. I was away for about 2 weeks and a little bit. I was in the States, and if you don't know, I'm part of this program at Fuller Seminary. I'm doing a course program called Master of Arts in Global Leadership. It sounds a little fancy, but it's not that fancy. But it's really a good course for me. I think it's good to just get some stimulation, you know, and I'm forced to read books that I wouldn't normally read. And it's just really good, you know, I'm learning a lot. And I was there in Colorado Springs for two weeks. I had a 2 week intensive. And one of the courses that I took when I was there for the second week was Biblical Foundations of Missions. And there's some of the things that I'm going to be talking about is some of the things that we learned in the course. So just so you know that I'm actually learning stuff, you know, that I'm not just going and having a holiday, going snowboarding. I know I have a picture of me snowboarding on my Facebook, but that's not all we did. You know, we learned and we studied, and just want to share a little bit about something that we learned while we were there. And I want to talk about this God who is the one who initiates this relationship with mankind. Right? God is the one who reaches out to us. God is the one that seeks us out. He's the one that initiates any kind of salvation or deliverance or restoration that he wants to bring to us. It's not anything that man can do to seek him out, but it's really God who initiates and who seeks us out and he finds us. So, I want to pose this question to you guys. You need to think a little bit. What do you think is God's first missionary act that is revealed in the scriptures? You know, if we look at missions as something like crossing cultural or economic or whatever boundary, crossing a boundary to reach somebody that doesn't have a relationship with God and to bring them into a relationship with God, what is God's first missionary act? And I think oftentimes we can look at Genesis 3 and say, yeah, this is when God first does his missionary thing. We read about Adam and Eve who clearly broke the command of God and they become aware of their sin and of their shame, and they start hiding from God. And God, who had said to them, hey, if you eat from the tree, you're going to die, right? I mean, God could easily have said, oh, these guys ate from the tree. I'm going to wipe them out. You know, but instead, God actually reaches out to Adam. And to me, I mean, the way I read it is God is giving Adam an opportunity to say, God, I messed up, you know, to repent. And I just wonder, you know, what would have happened if Adam had actually turned to God and said, God, I'm so sorry, I screwed up. I know I shouldn't have done this, but I repent. And, you know, like, I wonder what would have happened, but instead we know that Adam blames the woman, and the woman blames the serpent, and there's no repentance. There's really just shame and hiding and stuff like that. But, and many people will look at this and say, yeah, God is a missionary God. You know, he reaches out to mankind that was lost. But, you know, the first missionary act is not even Genesis 3. It's actually Genesis 1. Even when God creates mankind, that is a missionary act that God lovingly brings upon humankind. You know, God makes mankind in his own image so that we may be able to share in the relationship with God. He didn't have to do it, right? I mean, there's many theories about why God started this whole thing, but one of them is that God did it out of love and that he wanted to share his perfect harmony that he had, you know, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that kind of triune relationship that he had. He wanted to share that with mankind. So he creates man in the image of God so that we may share in that relationship. And that is a missionary act, you know. And all throughout the Bible, we're going to read about a God who is doing missions, you know, who is reaching out to people and who is offering people a chance to repent, and who is trying to draw people into a relationship with him, that kind of a thing. And if we read through Genesis, the first thing we're going to see is that God kind of reaches out and seeks out people in his sovereign acts. And he does it himself. You know, he does it with Adam. He does it through creation first. And then when Adam screws up, God does it to Adam. You know, he calls him out and says, Adam, where are you? You know, why are you hiding from me? And he's giving them an opportunity to repent and turn back to him. He also, you will see that he does it with Cain and Abel as well. Cain, when he is mad that God does not receive the sacrifice that he's offered to him. I mean, I just feel like God could easily have said, Cain, what's your problem? And just punish him. But instead, God reaches out to Cain and says, Cain, why are you angry? You know, and he kind of reasons with Cain. And then when Cain kills Abel, I mean, it's God obviously knows what Cain has done, but he gives him an opportunity and says, hey, Cain, where's Abel? Where's your brother? Right? And you see, again and again, God is offering people an opportunity to turn back to God and say, God, I screwed up. I'm sorry. And, you know, what would have happened if Cain had turned, had a change of heart at that moment and said, God, I'm sorry. I did this thing and I shouldn't have done it. And then we see that with Noah, you know, God looks at the world. There's wickedness in the world and violence and injustice. And God says, I'm going to bring down judgment. And he could have just done it, bring down judgment. But he says, no, I want to save mankind. I want to keep this relationship, and I want to, you know, bring restoration and deliverance and salvation again to mankind. So then he will reach out to Noah, and he will follow through, you know, with his plan for salvation for mankind through Noah. And then as we kind of go on in Genesis, we see that God begins to do his missionary work through people, you know, through chosen people. And we see that with Abraham. You know, when God makes that covenant first with Abram, his covenant is not, Abram, I'm just going to bless you and you're going to be a great nation. It doesn't end there. It says, you're going to be a great nation. I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to all the nations. And then later on, God will say to Abram, you're going to be a father to many nations. You know, and that was kind of the job of Abram and the people of Israel. They were supposed to be a missionary nation. They missed a point, and they don't realize that God had called them to be a blessing to the nations, and they start focusing on themselves. But initially, when God called the people out, He called them out so that they can be the agent of God's mission to the world. You know, and I mean, obviously, you see Abram, even in his weakness and lack of understanding of what he was supposed to do, we see him operate in this mode. You know, he prays for Sodom and Gomorrah when God says, I'm going to bring down judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And you see him again, even when he goes to Egypt, you know, and he lies about his wife being his wife, and he says, this is my sister, and Egypt gets into all sorts of trouble because they believe Abram's lie. Later on, they let Abram go, and they give him back Sarah, and Abram blesses Egypt. You know, what was really interesting, something which was pointed out to me, to us in class, was, you know, God says to Abram, those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. And Egypt, when Egypt lets Abram go, it says that Egypt blessed Abram. You know, they gave him a lot of things and blessed him to go. And then we see how Egypt was majorly blessed by God, you know, because they blessed Abram, and they, I mean, Egypt was a superpower, you know. So we see this kind of promise thing working out. But, you know, we see Abram blessing Egypt, and then we see Abram blessing another man, Abimelech. You know, even though Abram didn't understand fully that he was supposed to be an agent of God's mission, he still is used by God to show the nations how great God is by God blessing Abraham and by Abram just kind of walking with God. But, you know, even aside from God doing it through Abram, God is still sovereignly working and moving. And we see evidences of that throughout Genesis, where Abram's nowhere in the picture, but God is revealing himself to people like Melchizedek, and there's another story that I want to talk about, who is Hagar. But so the main message is that, you know, is that God is one who initiates relationship with people, and he's a missionary God. And the implication for us is that, number one, this morning as we come to God to pray, I want us to understand that God is seeking us out. You know, he's the one that initiates this relationship with us. You know, it's not so much up to our power. It's not so much up to my determination to pray, my determination to get to God. But it's really, God is already looking at us, and he already sees us. And I want to read you a story in Genesis 16. I'll just read from verse 1. You can turn there with me if you're in Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows that she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur, and he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you're now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So, in this story, I crazy story. Sarai offers Abram, hey, why don't you sleep with my maidservant because I'm not getting pregnant. So he does that, and then Sarai gets mad at Abram, says, you slept with my maidservant and you made this all happen, because the maidservant's kind of maybe cocky, a little bit arrogant that she's pregnant, Sarai's not pregnant. So she gets really mad, Abram gets mad, Abram says, you do whatever you want to do with her, and Sarai just mistreats Hagar. So Hagar eventually flees. And we got to remember, she's an Egyptian slave. She's not even a descendant of Abram, the covenant people of God. She's an Egyptian slave that really had no covenantal relationship at all with God. And when she is mistreated and she leaves the home, we see God reaching down to Hagar, right? And the name that Hagar gives to God is, this is the God who sees me. Because she is in her distress, she is in her pain and suffering, and God reaches out to her, and she understands, oh man, God is one who sees me. And this morning, I just want to say to us, you know, God is one that sees you. You know, whatever distress you're going through, whatever hardship, whatever, just whatever you're going through, you know, God is the one. God is one who sees you, and not only does He see you, but He'll reach out to you, and He'll initiate this kind of deliverance and the salvation that He brings upon His people. So this morning, you know, I just want us to remember that, you know, and not feel like, oh, I'm alone, or I feel so far away from God and stuff like that. But no, God is right there, and He sees you, and He's with you. And the second point, the second implication of God being a missionary God is that He reaches out to people through His people. You know, He uses people to do His missionary work. So who is God asking us to reach out to? You know, it's not necessarily people that are pre-believers. I mean, it could be in the church. It could be someone that's just going through a really tough time, or somebody at work maybe you need to reach out to. But it's just a real challenge for me, you know, that God chooses to work through people. And knowing that God is a missionary God, we really, we have the call, the responsibility to kind of join Him in that work. You know, in the Gospels, we see Jesus come down, right? And Jesus being God, He does His missionary thing. He reaches out to all the different people. He proclaims the kingdom of God. Then He demonstrates the kingdom of God through power and through love and through righteousness. But then what we read in Acts is that the work that Jesus was doing all throughout the Gospels is now being carried out by the disciples. You know, that's kind of the transition that is made. Jesus proclaims and demonstrates the kingdom of God, but that mission is given to the disciples, and then we see the disciples do it through the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And we're in the book of Acts time. You know, this Jesus hasn't returned, and He's not doing His thing, but He's calling the church to partner with Him in doing the missionary work. So, let's pray and ask God to show us who it is that He's calling us to reach out to. And don't do it out of guilt. You know, maybe I'm saying that maybe you don't even struggle with guilt, but I struggle with feeling guilty if I don't reach out and stuff. But I don't know, it shouldn't be about guilt, but it should be about kind of the love of God. And when that love of God, like, captures our heart, you know, then we go out and share that same love that we've experienced in the world around us. So just two things, you know. Number one, God sees you, He's with you, He initiates this relationship with you. And secondly, who is it that we can be a blessing to? Knowing that God is a missionary God who reaches out to people, who is God asking us to reach out to? And Evane's going to come, and she's going to teach us a new song, right? Right, so she's going to teach us a new song. So if you don't know the melody, you can just kind of meditate upon the words. And once you pick it up, you can sing along. And let's just wait for the Holy Spirit to come and just minister to us. God, I thank You. We just want to open up our hearts, God, this time. Thank You that You love your children. God, thank you that even from the very beginning, you were reaching out to mankind and you were initiating this relationship with us, God, and you're calling us into a relationship with you. And we just want to respond to that this morning. And also, if there are people in our lives, God, that you have brought to us so that we can be a blessing to them in some way, I just pray that you'll open our eyes, God, and give us courage to share with them your love and your goodness, God. So come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
God, I stand amazed.
Let's pray. Let's just pray as the song says, you know, make us a servant. And let's just pray that, you know, if God has someone for us that He's asking us to reach out to, that we would just be a servant to Christ and really do His will. So let's just take a moment to meditate on that and pray that. Let's pray for our mission focus. We pray for our community first, sorry. We have people that are sick, our family members with cancer, and other people with other kind of illnesses. So let's just lift them up. Let's pray that God would bring His healing upon them. And let's pray for the families as well, that they will be strengthened, that they'll have peace in this time, that they'll sense the presence of God. So let's just lift them up together. Let's pray for others with illness, and also people that are that don't know Jesus Christ yet as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray that God would move in them to bring them into His kingdom, into His family. Let's pray for others with illnesses, and also let's pray for those in our community that are looking for a job. Let's pray that God would really bring breakthrough in their situation. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Kenny Yeh, who is finishing up his ministry there, and he was supposed to be returning this year, I think at the end of this year. Let's pray also for Kenny Yeh as he is looking for a job here. Let's pray that God would really give him favor and that he will find something really meaningful to do here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for Rachel, who is doing ministry in Thailand with YWAM. Let's pray. I think she's traveling through the United States right now. So just pray for travel mercies for her. Let's also pray for North Korea. Let's just lift up the churches there and our contact. Let's pray that God would really use him and his family. God would protect his family and bless his family. So let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for the SP Ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and the nursery and the youth group, and also for men and women's ministries. Let's just pray that God would use these different ministries to minister to the children and the youth group students, and also just men and women here. I think women's ministry, they have a meeting this Saturday. So let's pray that they'll have a really great time. So let's just lift up these ministries. Let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for Conduit and Kennedy and PPHV that's meeting today. Let's pray that they'll just have an amazing time tonight, just meeting together and worshiping and learning and discussing. So let's pray for our house churches. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word. We thank you that you are a missionary God, always reaching out to us, God, and reaching out to the world. And we just want to first just really understand and experience, God, the love of God that draws us to you, and then also reach out to the world, God, and to share this love, God, with the people around us. So I pray that you will help us to do that, Holy Spirit. We need your anointing, God. We need your presence this today. And help us to really be a blessing, God, wherever we go today, God, in our workplace, with the people that we meet, people that we see. I pray that we would have this in mind, God, that we are called to partner with you in your work of drawing people to yourself. And I just pray that our days will be filled with joy and peace. God, help us to really worship you, glorify you in everything that we do today. And may you strengthen us, God. Thank you, Lord. We need you and we love you. We worship you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you guys today. Have a great day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.